Hey y'all. Hey. thanks for, I'm glad y'all came, even though we were going to try to talk about sanctification and maybe it's confessing, maybe you're a little sassy. Thanks for I'm glad you're able to hang out with me and hopefully just for me to share things the Lord's taught me over my life and my stubbornness. In my strong will. But before we get started, if y'all will just pray with me, and then we'll get going. God, thank you so much for the amazing God that you are. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the incredible rescue in my life. I pray, Lord, that we would use everything that you've called us to do and everything that you bring our way to transform us, to be more conformed to the image of Christ, that we would have, Lord, just a vision of the big picture of what you want to do with us and how great you are, that you already know how you're going to accomplish what you want to accomplish in our lives. We love you. We worship you. We praise you. And speak to our hearts today, Lord. Use your word to change us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay. You want to show this little, you want to go ahead and show that little video? If it's ready, we'll see.
No, one, two, three, four, five.
No, one, two, three, four.
No, it's one, two, three, four, five.
No. One, two, three, five.
No, it's not one, two, three, five. It's one, two, three, four, five.
No, that's one, two, three, five.
How you going to tell me? How you going to tell me? I teach this every day. It's one, two, three, four, five.
No, it's one, two, three, five.
No, it's not, Aaliyah. It's one, two, three, four, five.
No, it's one. One, two, three, five.
No, sweetie, it's one, two, three, four.
No. Then one, two, three, five.
No, no, it's one, two, three, four, five.
No, then one, two, three, five.
Aaliyah, it's one, two, three, four.
No, mommy, that's one, two, three, five.
No, no, you're skipping four.
You're skipping four. You can't just leave four out. It's one, two, three, four, five.
No, there's one, two, three, five.
No, no, that's not right. It's one, two, three, four, five.
No, there's one, two, three, five.
Aaliyah, I'm not going to keep going back and forth with you. It's one, two, three, four, five. Five. Yes.
Yeah.
Count to one, two, three, five, mommy.
It's one, two, three, four.
No, mommy, it's one, two, three, two, five.
All right, count to four.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah. You did it.
What?
Point proven.
Seven,
yeah.
Eight.
Yeah.
I just love that. I that dad is great. He's so patient. I love it. So, the sassy. You know, when you Google sassy, there's lots of things that pop up. And also, I'm like, even in our world today, sometimes it's considered a positive, like a positive thing. Which we. So then I'm thinking here, just even the sanctification of a sassy mom. Just what is sanctification and what is sassy? I have some handouts just for a basic, if y'all want to write anything down, but this is a basic outline because I want to try to stay focused on where we want to go with all this. But when sanctification means being set apart for the use intended by the designer to make holy, to the process of being set apart for God's purposes, for what he's made us and what he's created us to be and what he's what he would like for to use us as and for him to change us and mold us. But then when you look up sassy, just the whole sassy means lively, bold, full of spirit, having or showing a rude lack of respect, confident in energy, boldly smart. Boldly smart. But yeah, there you go. Smart aleck or a smarty pants, you know. But then impertinent, which is not showing, it came up too, but it not showing proper respect and impolite and being rude. And showing insolent, which means showing a rude or arrogant lack of respect. And so, you know, the more we can say sassy and we can throw the word around, but really if we're comparing to what God's plan for our life is, then it's not, he's not trying to make Katie Sherrod more sassy. I know in the past I can use excuses, I was born that way. Exactly. We were all born sinners. And God's desire and design for me is to transform me and to change me. And I don't know about y'all, but I just don't want to stay the same. I want God to keep changing me. And I have a stubborn, strong heart. And it's a hard heart. And I have to ask God, daily, to give me a soft heart and to soften me and to take this heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. Make it pliable and workable. I used to never cry because I'm strong and I know what I want to do and nobody's going to tell me what to do. But I don't want to be like that. I want God's word to change me. I want God to tell me what to do, and I want to be obedient to his word. And I want to be useful for the kingdom. And so many times in my life, I'm like, oh, well, what do I do with this self? What do I do with this person here that's so strong? And sometimes I just don't know what to do with me. And it's this continual process of me trying to be dead to Katie, alive to Christ, that I've been crucified with Christ, that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And also to embrace and to be even blessed and being grateful for the person that God made me, for personality, but to let that be useful for his kingdom and his purposes and channeled in the right direction. And what a lovely, wonderful, beautiful thing it can be when we use who God made us to be, that's full of the Spirit and channeled in the right direction to do damage for the kingdom. Because so many times I'm like, oh, Lord, why didn't you just make me one of those sweet little compliant kind of girls, you know, who would just go, sure, yes, yes, you know. I'm like, Lord, keep changing me and make me more like you. Make me more kind. Make me more sweet. Make me more obedient. Because I have a strong flesh. I have a strong, stubborn flesh. And from the beginning, you know, I'm one of four children, and, you know, I remember my mom and dad, well, she's our stubborn one. She's our strong-willed one, you know. But God has rescued me and saved me, and he's transformed me for his plan and his purposes. And I'm so thankful for that rescue. So in becoming more sanctified with this sassy mom, it's a lifelong process, I've learned. It's not overnight, and I'm almost 50 now, so I'll let you know how it's going when I'm 80. But God's been working on me all my life, even from the beginning. My mom told me me and my brother are 15 months apart. She said when she brought him home from the hospital, I stood over in the corner with my arms crossed, take him back to the hospital now. Because I was the queen of this house, and what's this, you know? He's stealing all my attention. And so, I mean, I'm sorry, Mom. I didn't know I did that. You know, I didn't remember that. I don't know, you know? And then just even into junior high, I remember being, you know, sassy comments and being ugly and rude to other people and not really caring. And, God's continued to show me that sin nature in me of how just being insensitive. And I think when it, I became a believer in eighth grade, and God began to change me. And in high school, I actually just transferred my sass into my Christian life. I remember a guy saying something behind me in class, like saying that was as funny as hell. And I turned around and I said, well, you know what, Rick? Hell isn't a very funny place. And I was like, I said, if you should know Jesus. And I don't even know what I said to him, but I was like right back at him. You know, where I can use it for good, but the Lord's trying to train me and teach me how to use my words. Because I seem to always have some thought or something going on in there, and I want to let someone know, but it's like, Katie, you can let someone know, but there's a way you need to do this. And not full of your flesh and full of you, but full of my spirit. And I want to train you and teach you and help you learn what it means to love others like Christ loves me, is what he's doing. He's continuing to show me that. And I'm so full of gratitude for a Savior like that. Because the more I see myself, the more I can see the sweetness of my Savior. So in the sanctification of a sassy mom, if y'all have your Bible, the main verse that I want to look at is in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. And it says in verse 4, and not all of it, but I just want you to realize what it says in here about what our purpose is and that we've been called for a certain purpose. It says in verse 1, finally then, brothers, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God. We received instruction on how we're supposed to walk and how we're supposed to please God. Just as you actually do walk, that you will excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 3, it says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. And then if you even, it talks about us, and it talks about sexual immorality. But I love even just in all this, and no matter what we do with our bodies, with our words, with our actions, our attitudes, that we are supposed to honor God. And it's and not like the heathen that doesn't know God, that doesn't have control. Even this way, on my way over here this morning, I was listening and just remembering the verse, how God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And, you know, I love that power word. But the power, you see, is surrounded with love and self-discipline. So it's just not power led by the Katie shared it. It's the power of God, led by love and self-control, which are fruits of the Spirit. And so we're supposed to control our bodies, not in a passionate lust like the heathen or Gentiles who don't know God, because we know God, y'all. And so we're supposed to be different. And so in verse 7, it says, God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but for the purpose of sanctification. That's part of our purpose. Sanctification, to be changed, to be made more holy, to be more made more set apart. And I love, y'all, that God is faithful and that he who started this good work in me, he's the one who's going to complete it. Because I am not faithful. I am stubborn always. But God is more stubborn than me to finish his work in me and to take a hold of me and to train me and teach me and to put up with my childish, rebellious, stubborn ways and continue to pursue me relentlessly. Amazing. Amazing. So what we need to do is, first of all, we need to make sure we look and see the big picture. And the sanctification of a sassy mom, the first thing is we need to see the big picture. So what is my purpose for which I've been saved? I've been called for the purpose of sanctification. What's God's will for us? Even in this verse, it's God's will for me to be sanctified. And we know that we're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. In Romans 8, you know, all things work together for the good of those who love him. We always hear that. Don't y'all always just hear, oh, for the good of those, whatever my good is, right? You know, it's like we think, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to work together for my good. And we don't always hear the main part of that. My good, but it's like, for those who've been called according to whose purpose? His purposes. And He's got purposes and plans for me, and I need to line myself up with what He's got going on. And it's not like, here I am, God, take me, bless me, and then here I'm deciding what to do, bless this mess. He's like, no, I'm taking you, and I want the whole thing. Give me that blank sheet of paper. Give me your life. Stop writing all your things on there. Give me your blank sheet of paper, and I'm the author and perfecter of your faith. I've got the plan for your life, Katie, and it's a good plan, better than anything your little pea brain could ever think up. And see, I have to talk to myself the way that I would talk to others, and I don't, but I have to tell myself, like, straighten up, you know? And we don't even say the shut up word. It's a bad word in my family. We don't say shut up because that's unkind and rude, but I have to tell myself, shut up, stop talking, put a lid on it, you know, zip it, you know? Because there's so many times that I need to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. Because those things don't bring about the righteous life that God desires for me. And so, in God working His good for His plans, His purposes, because He wants me to be conformed into the likeness of His Son, of Jesus. And God is so good, He's going to complete that in me. Oh, this is great news, y'all. It gets me excited. Because if I was having to depend on my own self, I am so stubborn. And I am so strong. And I don't like to submit to God and His ways. But God knows me, and He knows how He is going to get me. And He knows how He's going to bring me in. Because He pursues me relentlessly. And wants to transform me and conform me. And He's God. He made this little girl. And He knows what He has to put up with. And He's ready for me. And He can handle it. And I love that. I love that that's the kind of God that we serve. So we need to see our big picture. And so what's our goal in all this? It's our goal is to please Him. Our goal is to live for Him, love Him. If you've been rescued and you're a child of the King, then my life is, I'm here because I'm here for His plans, His purposes, and to make disciples of Christ, to make His name known, to tell the rest of the world the good news that Jesus lives. And not only to be changed, but in my changing, that others would see the miracle of God and through what He's doing in me and see the goodness of God and say, I want to know that same Jesus. I want to know what's happening in you because you're different. You're changed, you know. And my dad, he went to be with the Lord in 2006, but he would always say two things that he wanted. One was just to come. He had two goals. And one's to come to know the Lord. And he said, check, got that one done. And the next was to bring as many people with me as possible before I leave. And so, y'all, we have work to be done. And if God, when He's done with me, He'll take me. He'll take me home. But until that day, there's work to be done. There's lost souls. There's people who need to hear the truth. And so we've got work to do. So we need to open our eyes and we need to see what's the big picture here, you know? And more than that, just even so much more, as a mom, I have these little kids, these disciples, these personal souls that have been placed in my care that need to know Jesus. And if anything else, y'all, I want my kids to go, I don't want them to say, we work with young people. We work at Pine Cove, me and my husband. I don't want my kids to say, well, if that's who Jesus is, if that's what my mom says she loves Jesus and that's what Jesus looks like, forget that. I don't want anything to do with her Jesus. God forbid. I want my kids to say, I want to know and love the same Jesus that my mama loves. I want to follow after that because my mom's not perfect, but my mom is real. My mom loves Jesus. And I can see a change in her. I'm going to see that she keeps changing. And it's not over till it's over. And with my kids, I love, too, just being humble before them and knowing that when you become a believer in Jesus, there's no different sized Holy Spirits. It's like they have the Holy Spirit. There's not a kid size and a mama size. There's just the Holy Spirit. And for me to be teachable and ask my kids, you know, to pray for me. And to help me Y'all want to grow? If y'all want to grow and you want to humble yourself, ask your kids what you need to work on. Ooh, that's a good one. And I always say my kids are my 24/7 accountability group. There is no hiding your sin with your kids. And God knew that. That's a gift, y'all. You may not think it's a gift, but it is a gift from God because God is faithful. Because he wants to complete his good work in you. And you can't hide it from kids. You can try, but you can't. And you don't want to live a lie because your kids know. You know, those are smart. They come out smart. They come out smart and smarty too, right? Right? And so it's our goal, first of all, to let God change us so that we can even be an instrument of change in their lives. So see the big picture. See the big picture. And then in that big picture, what role has God given me? I go, well, what? Because I don't know about y'all, but there's so many things in this world, so many things in life, right? There's like, why? Your just brain's going crazy trying to remember everything that you need to do, trying to get things checked off your list or whatever, however, you know, and just blah. And sometimes you just feel so cluttered in there. So I'm like, hold on a minute. Back this thing up. Got to back it up. God, help me remember what's really important. What is eternal? What am I even doing here? I realize why people say no use crying over spilt milk. I spent a lot of days making a fuss over spilt milk with my kids. I have 8 kids, by the way, so I've been fussing a long time. I have my crazy, I'm a grandma mom, I say, because I've got, I've got a 23-year-old, and then we have a couple that came through adoption, so I've got a 2-year-old. So I'm doing potty training right now. And we did a wedding about a year and a half ago. So God's been working on me a long time. And I love that one of his best tools to be sanctified, to change me, has first of all been my marriage, your being a wife, and then second, my kids. They're one of my best tools for sanctification because they bring out your best and your worst in you. But it was already in me. It wasn't them that did it. It was already there, guaranteed. It was there. So God is trying to change me and let me see who I am because he already knows. He already knew. So in my role, so God's got this big plan for me. I'm going to proclaim him and live for him and proclaim the name of Jesus. And he gives us outlets to do that. And I don't have to pray about, I wonder what God's plan is. I'm married, so I am a wife. So I've got that. I'm called to be a wife. I do have children, so I am called to be a mom. So let's start there, you know? And then I think, so what really matters? My maker, my marriage, and my motherhood. And then after that, I have other ministries. But let's take those. That takes, I'm about worn out just with that. Just, you know, I always say, let the rest of the world line up outside my door because there's lots of work to be done. Just give me that. And then we go out looking like, what are we supposed to be doing with my life? You know, cut that. You know a lot. You already know. Open up the word of God, you know, and let's just get going with what we have and what we know we're supposed to be doing because this is what we've been called to. So, and I think one of my biggest things that when I realized I need to figure out my whole purpose, when I had my first 3 babies, my oldest ones now are 23, 22, and 20. So at one point they were 1, 2, and 3. Any of you with the little ones, I know how crazy it is. But then those same ones are middle school together and then teenage boy, they're boy, boy, boy. So teenage boys together and then just everything. You think that it's all good and it's all different and it's all hard in different ways. And it's all challenging in different ways. But what I've learned more than anything is that I have to know and seek the wisdom of God, that I can never figure this thing out. And that's part of it. God wants me to be reminded that I am always needy and that he is the one who gives wisdom and insight. And that I always have to go to him and ask him because I am one of those kind of people. It's like, okay. Just write it down for me. Make my little boxes. Tell me how to do this and I'll get it going. I'll get this thing done. And I just want to check it all off like I got it. got it. I'm done. Not so much. Not so much. And I'm thankful for that because I'm desperate and I'm needy. And I have a mighty powerful God who is all wise, all knowing. And he's just trying to get me to say, Katie, I've got it. I'm here. You know, stop saying, I got this. God's got this. God's got this. He's got all the wisdom I need. He's got knowledge. You have not because you have not asked. And stop listening to the 10 million thousand blogs and Facebook articles or whatever. I mean, some are good, some are. But God, consult the one who is the creator, you know, and seek me. Seek my wisdom. Say, God, help me. Help me figure out what to do with this kid. Help me with potty training. Every single issue. Help me when they're a teenager. Help me when you can't hold their hand across the road anymore. You know, some of those, the early years, it's like you're holding their hand. You're like, I don't care if you don't want to hold my hand or not. I'm not going to let you die. And you must hold mommy's hand. And we're going to cross this road. They get to be teenagers because they're becoming young men and young women. And your goal is to raise them up, to let them go, to impact this world. You can't hold their hand anymore. They're going to make a lot of dumb decisions. You got to pray. You say you trust God. Do you? That's what God keeps coming back on me. Do you, Katie? You say you do. Trust God with your children. Because it's harder when you're saying like, okay, I taught you how to cross the road. I hope you do this right, you know. Don't run out there when that car's coming. But then you leave it. And they can choose whatever they want. So we have this amazing, amazing ministry to impact these kids. And it goes by so fast, so fast. And I'm so glad that that too is not up to me. It is God. There's a verse in Jeremiah. I love it. And y'all should remember it, Jeremiah 24:7. And it's something you should remember 24/7. And it says, I am the God who sanctifies, who calls you. Oh my goodness. Of course I'm forgetting it because, I will give them a heart to know me that I am the Lord. I will give them a heart to know me that I am the Lord. Jeremiah 24:7. Mama can't give them a heart to know the Lord. I can make that way favorable. I can, again, hopefully lead an example where they're like, okay, my mama's God is real. I want that God. I can't make them love Jesus, you know. But God can, because that's what God did to me. He changed my heart. He gave me a heart that wanted him to love him, praise his holy name. He worked a miracle in me, and I can pray that same thing for my children, that they would want to love and honor. Lord, give them a heart to know you. Put in them a heart that longs for you. Help them to see you and to want you and to want to follow after you all the days of their life, you know. So we need to see the big picture, but then we need to see our sin. See your sin. Our chief need is not affirmation, but Christ-powered transformation. I love that. It's transformation. We're called in Romans 12 to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord, and to be transformed, to be not conformed to the pattern of this world. Which the pattern is to be sassy or to tell everybody what you think and how you think it and be bold and be strong. It's like, what does God's word say about God's women? Let's read the word. You know, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. We can use our strength, women, but we can use it to be stubborn and strong in the ways of the Lord. And so I love that because I'm like, what do I do with this strong? And I love that God can use my strong for his ways, to be stubborn in his ways. And for those children of mine that have that same inherited sin nature, oh, I love it. I just pray they'll be strong in the ways of the Lord. And I promise you, one of my most difficult children was my firstborn, who we were like, he was right and I was right. You know, we had it go like head to head. And he was so stubborn. He was so, I used to call him a dictator over his brother. You know, the sweet one that comes next after the first one. I'm like, be wrong man, stand up to him. Don't let him tell you what to do. When the Lord gets their hearts, it's amazing. Because my 23-year-old that is so strong, and he's so strong and stubborn in the ways of the Lord. And it's such a blessing. And he was the kid that about drove me crazy when he was little. But he drove me crazy because he was me. I saw me in him. I saw him get angry when he couldn't get the doors open. I'm like, oh, my goodness, is that what I do? You know? Oh, I can't believe this, you know? I'm like, calm down, chill out. And like, I'm going, whoa. And it took me a while to go, that's me. That's me. And the Lord to say, what does God do with me? How can I be a parent to him? How does God parent me? So for us to see our sin is big, because I'm so strong and I wanted to just get this done. And I want to always know a right way. I want the way to do it. I want the rules. I want to follow them. I want to just let's get this done. And so God wants me to look at my own heart and look at my own self. And even the way people do the mom fail thing, if you've seen that, but just that, not to be proud of a mom fail, but also not to be ashamed of it. The thing about a mom fail, like if mom's not doing things right, is that in our God-given roles in parenting, it's a result of sin for us to fail all the time. But it's also a beautiful reminder that I need a Savior. And that he is more than enough, that my God is more than enough. I call, when I see my own sin, the blessing of revealed sin. And I would have never called it that early in my years, because I was so busy trying to be good and do everything right. Because I wanted everything to be done right. And I wanted to be the best mom, and I wanted to be perfect. I wanted to just do this right. I have to realize, I'm nothing apart from Christ, and I can't do this, and I'm so needy, and it's so refreshing to know that that's who I am, and that God already knows that, and he's got my back. He's got this, because he's my God, and he's saying, Katie, just rest in me. Trust in me. I've got this, and I'm going to be the one who does this. Submit to me, and that has been so hard for me, because I'm so strong and so stubborn. And so, but just when you do, just the relief that it is to know that God knows about my sin. He knows that I'm going to fail again. And he already knew that before he welcomed me into the family. He knows what I'm going to mess up in the future, in the past, today. And he still loves me. I always say he just dadgum loves me. And so many times I want to work for it. I want him to be proud of me. I was like, he just loves me. He already honors and cherishes me. It says in Isaiah, he rises to show me compassion. And then I go, but he knows me? I'm like, yeah, he does. And he relentlessly pursues you and just adores you. He rejoices over you. And it wasn't anything you did to make him love you. And it's nothing you can do to make him not love you. That's why it's dadgum just loves you. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's just love. And if I can get that more and more, y'all, I can be a better mommy. I can just love my kids. They don't have to do this, do that. They don't have to impress me. They don't have to perform. You just love them. And it's more of an inward thing. Mothers, we more unconditionally love our kids because, you know, they'll end up maybe doing a lot of things. You're like, what? But you'll get to practice it, because God practices it on you daily. And the more I see that, I'm just overwhelmed and amazed at the beauty of my Savior. And that's the next thing. And we need to see our Savior. God's word reveals our sin. We need to see our sin, but we need to see our Savior. And his love and kindness towards us. God didn't love me because I was lovely. You know how Jesus loves me, this I know. You know, yes, Jesus loves me. Yeah, we grew up teaching that. I'm like, oh wow, we grew up. You know, it's like no, it's like I was his enemy. I was running from God, and he loved me. And he didn't love me because I was lovely. His love makes me lovely. His love makes me lovable. He changes me. One of my biggest examples as God is trying to transform me and change me over the years of my life was my sixth child came home through adoption. And when I first knew or heard about her birth mom and her sin, she had been on cocaine, and Callie had cocaine in her, and she, you know, didn't get any prenatal care. Callie was actually, you know, was born in a bathtub, and I goes, it wasn't a home birth. But I remember being so judgmental and going, how could a mom do that to a child? How could a mom do that? And God pretty much had to be able to open my eyes and I say slap me across the face because that's what I need in my life with his word. It says in Titus, he reminded me of who I am. With my big old judgmental, I'm the speck finder, and I have this big old plank in my own eye. See the sin of everybody else, but not see my own sin. And God said, in Titus 3, it says, at one time, you too were foolish and disobedient, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, being hated and hating one another. But this is what got me, y'all. In the next verse, it says, but when the love and kindness of God, my Savior, appeared, he saved you, not because of righteous things you had done, but because of his love and his mercy and the washing and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Why did he rescue me? Not because of righteous things you had done. Not one. None of you are righteous. No, not one. Who do you think you are? You don't understand her life because you don't know her pain. You haven't had to experience what she's gone through. You don't know how many times she's been abused. You don't know what her life has been like. And only by the grace of God did you have a mom and dad that thought you were the best and looked at you and loved you. And you even had a mom and a dad together. Only by the grace of God. You see that, and then you're just like, oh, man, God. Even then, why? Why do I have that? Only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. And it's now my job, my duty to love unconditionally the way God has loved me. And there's no difference between any of us because all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And we're all desperate and needy. And God all loves us all and loves us and wants us. It is relentless in his love. And the miracle of Jesus that saved my life is the same miracle that could save hers. And we pray for her to love Jesus and to know Jesus. So I can now see my sin more. God wants me to see my sin. Thank you. Because when I see my sin, I see my Savior better. I see him better because I'm amazed. When I see who I am and how great God is to put up with me, you know that saying, how many times have I told you to do that? I hear God could say that to me. Katie, how many times have I told you? I've been trying to teach you all your life. You're almost 50. Get it together, girl. And he didn't talk to me that way, y'all. He knew how stubborn I was going to be. He knew what a mess I was. Just like an orphan, He knows that I have nothing to offer. Can't pay him back. He didn't rescue me into his kingdom because he needed me. The rocks and trees can cry out the glory and praise of my God. But he loves me and he wants me. He loves you and he wants you in the family. And he wants to change us. He wants to transform us into the likeness of his son. Oh, what a great God this is. So we need to see the big picture. We need to see our sin. We need to see our Savior. Our sin was great, but his love is greater. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name our Savior is. What a beautiful, beautiful name. And then we need to stay in the Spirit. The only way to do this, y'all, because I told you daily I have to fight my sin, we have to stay in the Spirit. And I joke about it. I was like, we don't have to pay for counseling. God's given you, paid by the blood of Jesus, 24/7 counselor, the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And he, when Jesus left to go to be with God the Father, he said, I'm going to send you a helper, Katie, because girl, you need help. See, I'm talking to myself the way I like to talk. I'm like, he's like, no, God was more like, I love you and I'm going to send you help, you know? And he said, the Holy Spirit's going to remind me of all the things Jesus said. But first of all, to be reminded, I've got to know his word and know what God wants and says of me. And then he said that I'm going to give you that Spirit and he's going to remind you. So we need to know God's word, be full of the truth. I need to daily say I need to be crucified with Christ so Katie's no longer living, but Christ lives in me, that I must become less and he must become greater. And then Galatians 5:16, to walk in the Spirit so I won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And so just having a quick repentant rate was what my dad would always say, too. It's like I'm in the step with the Spirit, but oh, there goes my sin. And I about wanted to just whack that guy over the head. You know, he just made me mad. And like, confess this, Lord, I am losing it. I am losing it, you know. Forgive me. I need to bring it back down, you know. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Be full of Jesus. Because when people bump into me, I want to overflow Jesus. I want to be so full of him. But I have to be intentional. I have to be deliberate in my thought. Because if I'm just thinking I'm going to live for Jesus and wake up in the morning, it is not going to happen. It is not going to happen. And so I'm so thankful for God's word that leads and guides me, that I can be full of the truth of his word. And I can walk by that truth. And I can be less of me and more of Jesus. And that God is the one who's going to change me through the word and through the truth of his word. As I cooperate, I always like to say, I have to cooperate with what God would like to do in me. I can say, yes, sir. Or I can say, I'm not going to change. I want to do and say what I want to do and say. Same attitude as a kid, right? And the more I see my attitudes in my kids, I'm like, oh my goodness, I am such a mess. God, you are so amazing. You are so amazing. Help me to love my kids the way you love me. And it so makes me a better mom, y'all. It so makes me a better mom. Never a perfect mom, but a better mom who's loving Jesus and trying to love according to God's love. But the more I know his love, the more I can pour that love out. And what God demands, he supplies, which is so refreshing. Because I don't have to muster up the energy or the power or the strength. It's been given to me. Because he's given me his Spirit. And through him, I can do all things. But apart from him, I can do nothing. And so this is refreshing. This is amazing, y'all. We ask God for wisdom. He gives it to us. We ask God for his Spirit. It's already been given us. We just need to walk in the truth that it's already been revealed and walk in that Spirit. And I have to pray, not, Lord, give me patience. It's like, you pray, give me patience. That's why I have a lot of kids. Because I've been praying and asking God to teach me. And he's like, he knows how stubborn I am. So he's trying to teach me by all my kids. And I was like, yes, sir. I get it. But God is so good. I love it. Because he knows what we need. He knows how to get to me. He knows all my buttons. Because he's trying to change me. So isn't that refreshing? I hope that it's refreshing to y'all. And I hope that if you don't do... God is more concerned with your response to what you're going through more than the circumstances you're going through. Because circumstances reveal who you are. And if you let him reveal who you are and then give it back over to him and ask him to change you, and to show you a different response. Instead of these kids are driving me crazy, then you need to change. You need to say, God, change my crazy. Change me. It's not their fault. They're kids. Ask God to change you. Say, okay, I see this. Help me, Lord. Help me to be, I need your patience through me because I can't do it without it. Instead of the terrible twos, it's the teachable twos, right? You got to call it that. Cut back on your negativity. Be positive. Be positive about it because this is what my purpose is. It's not a waste of my time. These kids are not a waste of your time. This is productivity and effectiveness for the kingdom of God. This is your goal. This is your ministry. This is your mission. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Love that quote, y'all. That's where you know. I'm impacting these children that have been entrusted in my care, and we're going to go out and do damage for the kingdom. We're going to be lights in this dark, crooked, perverse world. You have a goal. You have a mission. You have a ministry. So use your strong spirit. Use who God made you to do damage for the kingdom and to speak strength and peace and confidence into your children, not to crush and destroy them. Not to crush and destroy them and exasperate them. But we can use our gifts for wonderful purposes and for beautiful things. Just as God is so strong to pursue us, we can be strong to pursue our kids and to speak truth into them. So I'm excited for what God has for you. I hope this weekend is refreshing for you. I hope that you are able to think clearly. Oh, how many times have I prayed for that? Lord, just give me clarity of thought, right? Just to think, wait a minute. I love these kids, right? You got to remember that, right? I love these kids. This is my dream come true. There's work to be done. And God, just as God is faithful to you and relentless, be faithful to your children. Pour out love and kindness into their lives. And I don't have it in me. God gives me love and kindness. God gives it to us. Yay! Victory! All right. Thank y'all for listening. She may have handed out a card. Before we leave it, I told myself to remember that. Write something down. I hate to just sit here and talk good things and then nobody does anything with it, right? Write something that you need, whatever you're going to work on, whatever you're going to do to one of your kids. You've been not talking nice because they're about driving you crazy. Write down one something, just one. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed like, God, I got so much to work on. Just start with one. Just start with one. Don't get overwhelmed, okay? Let me pray for us, and then y'all go to lunch. Thanks for listening, and I'm so thankful y'all are here this weekend. I love being with other moms. We're in this thing together, and God's got this thing. God, thank you so much for your power and your strength, for your grace. Thank you for rescuing us from the dominion of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of light. I pray that our children would see Jesus in us. Change us, Lord. Transform us. Help us to be humble, teachable, and moldable. Continue to give us soft hearts so that we can be just like clay in your hands. Because you are the potter. We are the clay. We do not have this thing down. You are the one who's the creator. You're the star. You're the show. You are amazing, God. And we are so amazed and grateful that you even called us to be a part. Thank you so much, Lord, for our incredible rescue. Pray for our children, Lord, that you would help us to just love them with your love and your kindness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.